I would like to point out one interesting thing, though. Now, because this guy is in the news and everyone's going to know who he is, when he's walking to work and a homeless guy says, hey, do you have any change? He can't say no.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I don't know what to do with myself on a Saturday night. I'm Josh Hadley. You're listening to What the Fuck. Charlie?
I disagree and do not believe whatsoever that Josh Hadley does not know what to do with himself on a Saturday night.
What about Kat? Do you know what to do with yourself on a Saturday night?
Well, it usually involves watching anime and playing video games, but I agree with Charlie that I don't think that you don't know. Wait, I'm getting myself confused. You know what you're doing on a Saturday night.
No, I don't, actually, because we record this early, so it's not like we're live.
Yes, but we're saying you have hobbies.
Yeah, there's certain things that would surprise me greatly if they were not true.
Speaking of weird hobbies, what about this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
How about the intoxicated Oregon man who had to be pulled out of the river because he was masturbating on a cliff, and when the police approached him, he got freaked out and fell into the river?
This is what we're talking about, your Saturday night.
I'm not in Oregon, and I've never been caught doing that, so shut up.
I think it's a perfect, adequate description of your Saturday night.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
Nope.
Depending on the temperature of the river, I may or may not be very impressed with this man, because as I understand it, he was not completely done when he fell into the river.
So it only counts if you finish, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this was his big finish. Maybe falling into the river was Ernest Michael Kirk's big finish.
He's like the...
That actually kind of sounds like a movie title. Ernest Michael Kirk's big finish.
Actually, like the... it does now that you mention it, yeah.
He's like the Michael Phelps of public masturbators.
I mean, if you're going to masturbate in public... You do it at 2:17 in the afternoon on a cliff, right? I mean, if you're going to go all the way, you go all the way, right?
Real incognito-like.
He was he was naked, standing on the cliff at 2:17 in the afternoon, just masturbating. I guess he wanted to spooge into the river. I don't know what the point of this was other than, you know, masturbating into the river, but okay.
I mean, when you're drunk, and anywhere probably seems like a good enough place.
Fucking river, I'll show her.
My heart is like a river.
How about we move from that to something serious but stupid? Okay, first of all, I didn't know that Iraq had suicide bomb trainers. I really want to know how you get qualified for that, because I would think suicide bomber is kind of a... Remember Daffy Duck's trick on Looney Tunes? You can only do it once. I would think suicide bomber would be that, but apparently they have teachers for this. Well...
Yeah, like looking at a resume. Well, I noticed you're alive, so you don't have much experience. Both arms, I see.
Well, it turned out that a suicide bomb trainer accidentally used live explosives and blew up all 21 members of his class. I honestly don't know if this is funny or tragic.
I think it's a funny tragedy. I mean, okay, like, I'm not going to compare the life that we're living in America to the life people live in Iraq, because we will never, ever, ever have it as bad as they have it in America. It's just not going to happen. So I don't want to belittle the plight of the Iraqi people, what they're dealing with right now. However, I imagine they feel about this similar to the way Americans feel about, like, this insane gun nut accidentally shooting his face off while cleaning his gun.
I mean, what's really amazing is that this isn't an Onion article, because this feels
like... I actually had to check.
Yeah, like, this feels like this shouldn't be real. Like, how does this even happen? How are you somebody who is trained to know when to blow yourself up and when not to blow yourself up, and you accidentally do the thing that you're not supposed to do?
That was a hell of a trip to get back to the beginning, wasn't it, Kat?
I'm so sorry. I'll take the shortcut next time.
And you know what? I just think, in a way, it's poetic justice. In a way, I can't even say it's tragic, because I don't want to sound like I'm belittling Islam, but these were people, 21 people, 22 if you count the instructor, who were planning on killing civilians for God. I'm sorry, you don't get sympathy from me.
You don't really get sympathy from me either. I mean, they technically did their jobs. I mean, he showed them how to do a suicide bombing. I mean, that's he technically stuck to the syllabus when you think about it.
It was up close to personal experience that will look good on a resume.
Yeah, because that means a lot. Boom!
Yeah, it's like when American kids volunteer at a soup kitchen.
It's exactly like that. You do your little community service. You need it for your resume so you can get into a good school.
He is guaranteed admission into any college.
Since we're talking about weird Islamic traditions, whatever, did you guys read about the Saudi Arabian TV channel that received tons of complaints from, of course, male viewers that one of their reporters could see her hair? She wasn't wearing a headscarf on TV.
That slut!
I know! That evil whore! What it comes down to is, obviously in Saudi Arabia, women have to wear the beekeeper suit, the burqa and the headscarves and all that. Well, she was reporting...
FYI, that does not really work for beekeeping. Don't try that, anyone who might be listening to this. Because beekeeping outfits are expensive, burqas are not. Don't do it.
Well, technically, she was supposed to be wearing a hajib. I don't know what that specifically is. Is that the beekeeper suit? I thought that was called a burqa.
I think that's just the head covering.
Well, what happened was the reporter was not in Saudi Arabia. She was in London, where it is not required, but she was reporting on the Saudi Arabian channel. So they basically said she still has to cover herself. Now, here's where it gets weird. Why? They get tons of American programming that they don't bitch about. They get the BBC over there. They don't bitch about the female anchors and reporters over there. Why would this be such a controversy that she is not wearing a headscarf? Is it because she is Saudi Arabian and an employee of the channel? Or is this just selective enforcement of, yeah, I'll say it, backwards traditions?
I think it's because she's a Saudi. Previously on that channel, she had been seen wearing the hijab. And it's an affront to them to have somebody of that culture and that belief who is not following that belief in their eyes. While she's in London, where it doesn't matter. But I think to them, it's about the culture and not necessarily the location.
Well, if you guys would like a silver lining to this one, I've got it for you. Maybe Americans and Saudi Arabians are not so different after all, because this is a story of a bunch of Saudi Arabian people getting really upset about something that does not mean anything outside of the context of religious symbolism, and then being as bitchy and loud as possible, milking as much attention from it as they possibly can. Perhaps we're not so different after all.
Touche. Well, but then there's also the follow-up. She's basically getting censured for this. She could possibly get fired. I'm quoting from representative for the studio, Salih Al-Mughalif, said, quoting, "She was not in the studio inside Saudi Arabia, and we do not tolerate any transgression of our values and the country's systems." Basically, what he's saying is her ass is still going to get fired or censured because she was supposed to, essentially. You knew, even though you were in London, the hijab was supposed to be on, and you didn't.
I didn't interpret that way. It sounded like, hey, she's in London and we don't tolerate this shit here, but she's in London. That's how I interpreted it, but maybe I just read it completely wrong.
Well, we're reading the same thing. I took it as, because he was kind of making a whole lot of we're sorry's earlier, I kind of took that as he was acquiescing to all the Saudi Arabian males who were all a Twitter about her seeing her hair. It just seemed like it was a pushback and not a I stand by my reporter kind of thing.
I just interpreted it the opposite. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
But speaking of Twitter and getting up in arms over stupid things, first of all, can one of you explain to me what a Kate Upton is?
If I'm not mistaken, Kate Upton is a... she's been on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, so she's a supermodel. I don't know if she has her powers yet or not, but she is considered a supermodel. I've not seen many pictures of her. From what I can gather, blonde, green eyes, fantastic tits, not a whole lot else going on.
Hold on, let me go get the latest Sports Illustrated because I haven't picked up this week's issue of Kate Upton's tits. Kate Upton, you know what, if I had to say something, it sounds like an author, but I know it's not. But it sounds like a good author name.
Not even a little bit.
It sounds like it could be.
Because, okay, I don't know who this is. Yes, I am a dropout of pop culture. I get this. Apparently, she was on Live with Kelly and Michael. Of course, her name isn't Kelly or Michael, but whatever. She was in the middle of an interview with Michael Strahan when the Barack Obama press conference came in that we were going back to Iraq to bomb ISIS. and people were pissed. Mm-hmm. Not that we're going back into Iraq, not that we're dropping bombs on Iraq again, that they interrupted Kate Upton's story, because this was live. So when the news report was over and they came back, people missed 10 minutes of Kate Upton! I weep for our country when that is your reaction to, we are going back to a war we didn't finish in the first place.
Instead of dropping bombs on Iraq, let's find these Twitter users and eliminate them from the gene pool. I'm for that.
If I had my way completely, I would put sort of a jigsaw spin on it and drop the Twitter users from a plane onto Kate Upton. I like it when shit comes full circle like that.
Well, then why don't we drop the Twitter users on ISIS in Iraq?
They would be heroes.
I think this, unfortunately, signifies our country more than it does anything else. I want my celebrity news. I want my, according to Charlie, fantastic titted Kate Upton story. I don't care about Iraq. I don't care that militant Islam is spreading like a virus across the country. I don't care that Ebola has broken back out. Kate Upton didn't tell her story to me! These are the people who unfortunately tend to vote Republican.
Meanwhile, the rest of the world is getting two simultaneous reasons to hate America.
And you know what? I hate to say it. I actually think she would have created less controversy if she would have been in a fucking hijab.
I don't know about that.
I'm sure there's a fetish for that out there somewhere.
There's gotta be.
It's the internet. There's a fetish for everything.
Literally everything.
Well, let's move from that to our last story, this segment. Okay, there's being a dick, and then there's being a dick. A Los Angeles man won a $21,000 settlement, Adriana's insurance. They paid him, all right, $21,000 in buckets of pennies, dimes, and quarters. Basically, they're like, you know what? We don't think we should have to pay you. We have to. Fuck you anyway. What the fuck?
I'm sorry. I think that's awesome. Okay, nobody is going to be nominating anyone who's ever worked for an insurance company for sainthood. They are the scum of the earth. That much I can agree with. But there's a lot of people that try to fuck insurance so bad. Our country is full of people that want the shortcut to everything they've ever wanted. Immediate gratification. They will do anything and lie as many times as they have to try to get money through some sort of fraudulent means. So if they suspect but cannot prove that that guy is fucking them and they have to pay them, I think it's goddamn hilarious that they're paying in change. It is legal tender. They're 100% completely within their rights. And I am all for passive aggressively saying fuck you to people. I do it all the time. I would be a hypocrite if I had any kind of issue with this.
I think if the person is scum, then it's hilarious. And if the person is just a decent person looking for justice, then it's an asshole move. Because when Apple sues Samsung over something frivolous so that Apple can make the monies and Samsung pays them in buckets of pennies, that's fucking hilarious.
See?
But if somebody is...
In this case, the guy was assaulted by an employee from the insurance company when they got into an argument. So he is the victim.
Assuming that he is completely innocent and the assault was unwarranted, then it's not so funny.
I don't have anything to back this up. I definitely don't know the story other than what Josh has told me so far. But given that it was an employee of the insurance company that assaulted this guy, I think there's only a handful of people that know the whole story. If the guy provoked the assault just to get the insurance company, an employee of the insurance company, on the block like that, then they probably are siding with their own employee by paying the dude in change.
I have never heard of an insurance company paying somebody in change before, especially $21,000.
Well, in a post-OJ acquittal world, I can only take every judicial decision made so seriously. I would like to point out one interesting thing, though. Now, because this guy is in the news and everyone's going to know who he is, when he's walking to work and a homeless guy says, hey, do you have any change? He can't say no.
On that note, we're going to take a break.
Bullshit, man. I know you got change.
When we come back, it's the serious topics.
Is she really going out with him? We'll be right back.
according to Josh Hadley, I'm supposed to introduce this segment with Death to Fearnet, but they're already fucking dead, so I don't need to do that. I could just dance on their grave and take a long steaming beer piss.
Not this week, but the week prior, Fearnet finally died. And I say good fucking riddance.
Well, for me, Josh, they were the big gorilla hanging over my shoulder. My wife has not understood why I've been so giddy about Fearnet disappearing. And I know horror fans might not understand, too. I've had some people online go, dude, what's your deal? Why do you have to be such a dick? People are losing their jobs. Well, you know what? The people at Fearnet, they didn't give a fuck if they were affecting me or if they're affecting my horror channel. Or if they were ripping off my horror channel or ripping my ideas off or ripping off our style. I had an issue with Fearnet mostly because they were straight up corporate horror. But then when I started having my ideas show up at Fearnet, I had to get rid of some people in the American Horror's machine. I had to deep six some interviews with some directors that were working for Fearnet. And after we interviewed these directors, all of a sudden certain style things from our shoot and from how we present ourselves at American Horror's showed up on Fearnet. I had lots of filmmakers that would put it in my face like, oh, I don't need to get a deal with you, Hart. I've got a deal with Fearnet. So I had it jammed in my face quite a bit, and they were the big Megilla hanging over my shoulder. They were overfinanced. They had a lot more money than me, and I did end up in negotiating and bidding war battles over some content that ended up over at Fearnet. So for me, this was a very, very personal rivalry, and I'll fucking say it. I was talking to Lionsgate about properties they had that they were doing nothing with, and I'm going to name one of them, Blood Diner. I'm friends with the star, Carl Crew. He's a friend of mine. He runs the CIA bar, the CIA Center for Abnormal Arts. He's a really cool, interesting guy, and we wanted to interview him and do a whole thing on Blood Diner, which Liongate wasn't doing a goddamn thing with. They were just letting it sit there. So I talked to my contact over there in their department, their PR department, their marketing department. I've got some people over there I know. And I'm talking about how we want to do a special on Blood Diner. We'd love to do a one-night-only screening and interview the cast and crew. And the next thing I know, they blow me off. And sooner than later, all of a sudden, Blood Diner is being played all over fucking Fearnet. So those people say like, oh, dude, what's your... They're fucking personal assholes. This is business, and business is fucking war. And I'm happy that Fearnet is fucking dead. I know you fans are missing out. I know a lot of fans are going, dude, I wanted my corporate horror on my cable channel. Well, tune into American Horrors, bitches. We're doing a better job than Fearnet. We got cooler horror films. If you want your casual girls tortured in a basement crap that's cut for broadcast television, sure, Fearnet was all right. But they were not leaders of the industry. They were not trailblazers. They were not discovering new talent and developing new talent. If you want to see the true people at the bleeding edge of horror, you go to American Horrors, and we're free at filmon.com. You could watch us worldwide, and I'm celebrating. I mean, what were you... You wanted me to talk about this on this particular segment, Josh. Why?
Fearnet's death, for good or bad, doesn't matter that neither of us were fans. For good or bad, for positive or for negative, I think is indicating a shift in programming. A little bit of background. The reason Fearnet went away was that Comcast bought Universal. Well, Comcast owned Fearnet. Universal owned Chiller. So they thought, well, we got two corporate horror channels.
And Sci-Fi Channel, a mixture.
But that's not horror, so I'm just...
But it's a mixture. They have horror content on there.
Right. But yes, they own Sci-Fi as well. So they said, there's not a big enough market for all of these things. So Fearnet goes away, and we merge their programming over to Chiller. That's what I wanted to talk about. This consolidation. That why can't the market... Let's say we loved Fearnet, for the sake of argument. Why can't why can't the market sustain American Horrors, Fearnet, Chiller, and Sci-Fi? If they're all programming differently, why can't this current market sustain that?
You know, it can. It's all about lowest common denominator, and it's the corporate policy. These are publicly traded corporations who derive their profit from how much money they make versus how much they spend. So it's an issue where their goal is to make as much money as possible as cheaply as possible. They're not there to service the needs of the horror community. I love horror. It saved my life. It has helped me mentally. It's a thing in my life that has been very rewarding. I love it. I love it. And so doing American Horrors is a goddamn dream come true. I'm having so much fun. I mentioned it on the hour-long Heart Attack. If you guys don't listen, last weekend, I'm in The Orphan Killer 2. I've got a speaking role in it. It's great. I'm going to get to deal with the killer. And my car's in the film. And also, I'm in a movie called 2035 Forbidden Dimensions that just came out on DVD last week. You can get it at Walmart. You get it on Amazon. And so this is why I came to LA. I came to be part of the horror business. And once I got behind the curtain and saw how the corporations handled horror and handled horror fans, it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. I can't tell you how many different creators in the industry that have quit or stopped because of dealing with corporate horror.
If they were smart, what they would have done with FearNet was put you out of business. They would have said, okay, we're going to keep the corporate stuff, Child's Play and all that. That's on Chiller. We're going to make FearNet. We're going to start showing, we're going to counter program to American Horrors, and we're going to destroy Heart, who was the only real competition that they had. If they were smart, that's what they would have done.
I don't know. I mean, I believe there's lots of room on the stage for everybody. I really do. I think there's enough room for many horror channels. At FilmOn.com, they've got like 4 or 5 different horror channels. There's another cool B-movie channel called Threshold on FilmOn.com. And I think Threshold is really an awesome channel. And so me and Threshold, we play a lot of similar content because they do horror and fantasy and sci-fi. But we're working together to expand the audience. We want to build an audience for his channel and my channel. And I believe there's enough room for all of us. But in corporate America, they want to bully you. They want to hire cyber trolls. They want to game the system. They want to rig the system. American corporations are afraid of honest competition. They're terrified of it. In fact, they're psychotic fucking bullies. They're bullies. They can't beat creativity because everybody at a corporation is afraid. They're in that cover your ass mode. I've worked for corporations. People don't want to give adult films credit, but I had a real career in the adult film industry and a lot of experience in negotiating at the top level of being in sales meetings with the head sales guys and the head people at Vivid Video, which is one of the largest creators of adult content in the fucking world. And I learned quite a bit from being on that level and being a part of their marketing staff. It was an amazing learning experience being a part of Jeff Lamb's art team at Vivid Video. Jeff, if you ever hear this, you know, you helped me grow quite a bit. I know I could be a real big mouth and a real problem, or as Danzig says, I'm thick, which is true. But, you know, if you get through the thick skull, you can deal with a really smart guy. I don't know. You know, my feeling is let's work together and let's broaden the notion of what horror is. You guys are corporate and you're broadcast. You cannot compete with me in the uncut realm. You can't. You're broadcast. You have your hamstrung. Then two, you're corporate. So there's a lot of taboo issues you can't deal with. You're worried about public opinion for your publicly traded corporation in a way that me, as a privately held company and as a one-man attack force, I can go, I don't give a fuck what those cyber trolls say. I don't care who's offended. I think this movie's awesome, and I'm going to play this fucking movie. And I'm a guy who published Michael Diana, the only cartoonist in America to go to jail for his cartoons, to have his cartoons ruled as obscene material, and I published them in Boneyard Press, in the pages of Flowers and the Razor Wire. Why? Because I believed in Mike. I believed in what Mike did. I thought Mike's stories were great. I think Michael Diana is a fantastic artist and an unsung artist that someday he'll get his fucking due. That's where FearNet cannot compete with me. They have a committee. They got a bunch of people outside of horror they have to answer to. I don't. And I go where my whims take me, where I think it's cool. If Danzig says, hey, man, you should check this fucking movie out and put this on the air, I'm on it. And I have a lot of film historians that work with me. Whereas people like FearNet, they're going, or Chiller, they're going, what do we own that's going to cost us nothing and just put it on the air because these horror fans will watch anything? They don't have any respect for you guys. They don't respect their consumers. These corporations have no respect for their buyers. They have no respect for the store owners. They have no respect for their employees. They're psychotic. Whereas at American Horrors, I'm a human being. I mean, American Horror is a completely different machine than FearNet. Lobbying firm tells us that this many people want to see this film, and this film purports well on Twitter and our social media. And it's like, you're reacting. You're not acting. You're merely reacting, and you're not making a decision. You're not a leader. You're just a knee-jerk reaction. And at American Horrors, we're on the bloody edge. We're the bleeding edge of horror, and we're free to watch worldwide. One of the coolest things about covering Scare LA last weekend was running around telling people, hey, you know, FearNet is gone. We are now the only worldwide, uncut, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with no paid infomercials, horror channel that's free to watch worldwide. We're the only one. There isn't another true 24-hour, uncut horror channel like us. We're the only one. And fans really reacted very positively about that. And that makes my day, man. That's what it's all about. When a bunch of horror fans get together and they're fucking cheering and having a bloody good time.
Guys know the story of Eric Gardner, right? The black man, the asthmatic black man that was choked to death by the NYPD for selling, quote, untaxed cigarettes, and it was all caught on video, and it was pretty clear that they were way over the line in how they reacted to this. You guys are aware of this story, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just basically told us the whole thing, so
yeah,
now I am.
The story of a guy that was killed for selling 100% legal cigarettes to adults. Heard this.
Oh, I've seen the video, and it's clear. He keeps saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, and six cops are standing on him, kneeling on him, and when he says he can't breathe, one of them elbows him in the head, basically like, shut up, nigger. And this is all caught on tape. And of course, now the medical examiner is saying that he has ruled Garner's death homicide by chokehold. Basically, the medical examiner of New York City is saying the police killed this man. The police are saying, no, we don't believe the medical examiner, and it's your disrespect for the NYPD that caused this. They basically say that the police unions are sick of all of these brutality claims, when if you people would just respect us and do what we say, you wouldn't make us get like this?
Why do you make me do this, Karen?
I was just about to say, isn't this a battered wife syndrome? Or am I wrong?
Well, I mean, who are you going to believe? A doctor?
The medical examiner of,
New
York?
Or six guys who really, really, really do not want to be guilty of broad daylight murder?
I really think it's a shame that people like this exist, because there's all this, like, anti-cop sentiment right now where everyone's like, oh, the police are so corrupt and blah, blah, blah. And it's not helpful to anybody to have this whole, like, everybody should hate cops because cops are all corrupt. It doesn't help anybody to think that way. And I really wish cops would stop giving the public a reason to think that they're all douchebags.
Well, and then to even come out and say, it's your lack of respect, you're being the populace at whole, your lack of respect that caused this. You'll notice that they didn't actually address the whole, we didn't kill this guy, we just don't believe the medical report. Because what one of them said was, because homicide by chokehold is the official cause of death from the medical examiner, okay? They're saying, it was not a chokehold. I have never seen a document that was more political. They are making this political. Doesn't the medical examiner seek truth and have no agenda?
Scientists who just go, oh, hey, this guy died in this way. They're there to be the evidence and to testify on behalf of the victim how that person actually died. So when that person goes, well, scientifically speaking, this person died like this, and them go, no, that's totally wrong. It's basically going, hey, so climate change is a thing. And then for people to be like, no, that's really inconvenient to me. That can't be real.
I'm going to quote here from the head of the police union. There's an attitude in our city streets today that it is acceptable to resist arrest. That attitude is a direct result of the lack of respect for law enforcement, resulting from the slanderous, insulting, and unjust manner in which police officers are being portrayed, unquote. What he is saying is, just because our officers kill people, that doesn't mean we deserve disrespect.
There's only a handful of things that can result in the fucking death penalty, and resisting arrest is not one of them. I don't know. This is just kind of staggering. I mean, what the fuck is resisting arrest when you really break it down? Refusal to be accused of something.
And in our system, Charlie, it's supposed to be they have to prove you did it. You don't have to prove that you didn't. So if you are unjustly accused, your first reaction is going to be resist. I'm not talking punching an officer or whatnot. I'm just saying they consider resistance even saying, hey, I didn't do it, don't cuff me. That's resisting arrest.
Anything outside of bending over and saying, just tap me on the head when you're done, is resisting arrest. It is bullshit. It's a bullshit charge that nobody deserves to die because of. I mean, if they didn't expect resisting arrest at any given time, then they wouldn't walk around with the guns and fucking clubs that they choked this guy out with. I mean, the burden of proof is on the medical examiner. All he has to prove is that a guy with fucking asthma may have been killed by six armed psychopaths choking him at the same time.
Which is all caught on video, by the way. Another cop. Oh boy. Special police officer Richard Racine was
caught. What kind
of
special? Is it in quotes?
No. He was caught on camera saying that he's a New Jersey police officer, saying that, quoting, Obama has decimated the friggin' Constitution, so I don't give a damn. Because if he doesn't follow the Constitution, we don't have to. Our president has decimated the Constitution, then we don't have to. Unquote. Basically, did he just kind of say what most police officers are thinking, or am I overgeneralizing?
Well, I think you might be overgeneralizing a little bit. I definitely don't agree with the generalization that all cops think like that. But what he's kind of saying is that his, I guess, religious rights as a racist should be protected.
He's black.
Shit.
That's
even more confusing, really. I don't know. I don't think that saying, because I disagree with the president, I shouldn't be held accountable to the laws that I am. Especially for a fucking cop. And the fact that he's from New Jersey is not making a good case for him.
This is idiocy at its finest. This is somebody who doesn't understand how the country works or how presidents function or what's even going on in this country. This is a person who's going, yeah, well, Obama does blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm starting to go into Southern accent.
Let it happen.
This is New Jersey, not New Texas.
Oh, hold on. I can't whip out Jersey like that.
So, like, because this guy doesn't even need to, like, follow laws, and he's, like, the president, and he's on TV. I'm, like, not even on TV at all, so I should be able to follow even less laws than the guy that's on TV.
All right. Right. All right, not walking.
Laws? What's that about? Yeah. Wow, guys, why do we even have to follow laws?
Why do you both of you go in Christopher Walken when you go Jersey?
I don't know, man.
I wasn't even trying to do Walken. That's just kind of has a natural cadence, I guess.
But I think this is endemic of a larger thing, not with police officers, but this whole Obama has decimated the friggin' Constitution. Now, first of all, he doesn't understand what decimation means. Decimate means to reduce by increments of 10%. So does he mean Obama got rid of 10% of the Constitution? I think he meant obliterated, but used the wrong word. But fine, we'll let that go.
Desecrated, maybe?
But this whole thing about Obama is not following the Constitution, that is Republican party line shit there, isn't it?
No one who's ever made that claim has been able to cite any credible evidence about how he is directly going against the Constitution.
No shit. And by the way, Charlie and I, you and I have argued about this before. I'm not an Obama backer. He's a constitutional attorney. I would think if anybody knows how to skirt the Constitution without violating it, it's going to be Obama.
I mean, that absolutely is. Well, I mean, it's the whole conservatives just think Obama is just the worst thing ever. And once again, they don't really care about the country or the needs of the people at this point so much as they do just stopping everything that Obama's doing, whether it's good for people or not. And it's the idea of they'll just literally say anything that people will rally around, whether or not it makes sense. And to say, well, Obama doesn't follow the Constitution, so why should I? Literally makes no sense. There's no foundation to that statement at all. So, yeah, but it's something that's catchy, that will stick in people's minds, so it's easy to get simple people to rally around that idea.
Well, and by simple people, I think we're talking about Fox News' audience. Before we get into the story, I want to make a distinction. There is the Fox News channel that we talk about that is obviously partisan. And then they have other foreign language affiliates, such as Fox News Latino. Now, also, whatever area you live in, you have a local Fox affiliate. That is not part of Fox News, okay? I need to differentiate this for this to make sense. There was a relatively uplifting story about an illegal immigrant. He was an undocumented student who is getting $22,000 in grants and scholarships to attend college. That's an uplifting story, right? Yes, he's undocumented, but he's trying to better himself. He's not abusing the system. Well, Fox News Latino covered that with the headline, "In rare move, university grants 22K scholarship to undocumented student." And it's the uplifting story I told you about.
Very positive one.
Fox News Channel, money for illegals? The exact same facts.
The exact same fucking photo!
The same photo, too, were tailored to their respective audiences. Now, Fox News Latino was also pushing an agenda that undocumented students can get help and that it's okay to be undocumented. I still think you should come here legally, but that's not the point. Fox News was fear-mongering that these people are coming into our country, they're taking your positions at colleges, they're getting your money. Isn't it funny how... not changing the facts. Both stories told the same facts. It was how they told them. Isn't that kind of endemic of what's happening to, quote, news nowadays?
Spinning the story to fit your beliefs. I don't think that's new. I think that's always been around. I think that's the history of everything, literally everything. That's history. That's what the human race has pretty much always done. Is it a great shame that something that's owned by the same parent company treats this in different ways? Yeah, that kind of sucks a lot.
because now they're getting your money off of both kinds of stories, and that's just not fair. I was going to say that I'm actually immensely amazed that Fox News didn't Photoshop the picture of this nice, you know, perfectly nice kid. I'm just amazed they didn't put like Photoshop a fence into the background or something.
Like how Newsweek made OJ blacker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they'd like Photoshop a sombrero on him and a taco in his mouth or something? I mean, if we're going to go full racist, might as well, right?
I just thought because he's undocumented, they might like throw something in the background to make it look like, he just jumped a fence or something. Or maybe they would just, you know, do some darkening of the picture to make him look shadowy. I don't know. These guys are crazy assholes. They could do anything.
I just think it's a staggering lack of accountability for Fox News, because Fox News Latino is not a local affiliate. That is a subsidiary, also owned by News Corp, also owned by Rupert Murdoch. This is just so glaringly full of shit. Why am I only hearing about this today?
Well, but this isn't the first time that this has happened. When you got Latino-centric stories, for instance, there was one a while ago. Here's Fox News's headline. Immigration reform could add millions of Latinos to Obamacare. By Latinos, you know Fox News means illegals. Fox News Latino, immigration reform proposal draws optimism and resistance. Do you see how just the tone is different, even though they're giving the same facts? So what does that then say for facts? What does that say if Fox News, in this case, is being factually accurate in both these stories, but they're still spinning it? Is there no hope left for getting a true, we give you the facts without spin news in America?
God, no. No, there's no such thing.
Because, and you know, if anyone thinks I'm picking on Fox News, MSNBC and CNN are the same way. Just take any story covered by all three networks and look at it, find the core facts, and you'll find that all the facts are the same, but they all tell it in such a way brings you as the reader slash viewer to a completely different outcome. Fox News and MSNBC can cover the exact same story, and Fox News will cover it as the world is ending because of this. MSNBC will cover it as the world is a better place because of this, just as an example, and yet they're both factually right. I don't think these places have the right to call themselves news organizations anymore. I just don't.
There's a really good example out there, and it's just like a little photo going around Facebook forever that, what happens when Obama drinks Pepsi? And it lists all the examples of how all of the media outlets respond to Obama drinks Pepsi. And like Fox News is like, Obama declares war on Coca-Cola by supporting yada, yada, yada. Like, go find that thing right there, because that's a perfect example of it's like everything's fucked up. Like our whole news, our whole media and where we learn stuff from, everything is distorted, and who do you trust, and welcome to our world.
I don't know. It's tough to find any sort of optimism in this. I mean, I guess I don't think Rupert Murdoch has a lot of time left to be alive. And I don't think everything will be better once he's dead, but it's not going to be this bad.
What I'm hoping for is when he dies, there's a shareholder civil war within News Corp that ends up accidentally taking the company down. Or have I just seen way too many movies?
No, I think it'll happen.
Our last story tonight is about poor Bobby Schilling. He's a GOP ex-representative, Bobby Schilling, from Illinois. Oh my God. He only made $174,000 last year. He has a personal income. He has assets totaling $254,000. He has $666,000 in financial disclosures. Oh my God, he has almost $1 million in the last year, and he's living paycheck to paycheck. Oh my God. I'm going to quote from him. The folks are living paycheck to paycheck, which is most Americans, including myself. You know, that is something that you want to be putting out there when you've got a kid that wants to play sports, or you want to take a trip for vacation. Instead, you've got to funnel your money over to Obamacare, which is something you might never have to use. Unquote. I can't do that phony sorry thing anymore. This motherfucker is worth almost $1 million, makes $174,000 a year. and is claiming he knows what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. Fuck Bobby Schilling.
I'm sure a guy like that is probably living paycheck to paycheck, you know, because he's got to, you know, pay off his third house and his eighth car and all this other shit. I'm sure it's really rough for him to feed his family and clothe his children. It just must be so hard to be him.
Well, I think the most intriguing thing about that quote that you read off for me was how he said that money has to be funneled to Obamacare, which you may never need. What he's saying is there's probably some of you who will never have to go to a hospital for any reason.
Well, and he doesn't have Obamacare. He has the health care provided to him through the GOP and his elected office. What he's saying is, I know just what you're all going through. I'm poor too. I really want to see one of these motherfuckers, like all these motherfuckers who want to cut food stamps. I want to see these guys feed a family of three for $380 a month. I want to see one of these motherfuckers live like this for a month and then see if they really know the plight that the lower middle class is under.
I've never met him in person, but just given this statement, I could really do without people like him. Like everybody says, Congress and our political representatives should all have to, you know, like live for a year on a minimum wage job just to understand what this fucking world is really like, because these people are so disconnected. They live in a different world than we do.
A six-figure salary is lower middle class. No, it's not.
No, really, you don't understand what the middle class is. These people are just so, so disconnected from the rest of the population of the United States. And I really think that if they, you know, actually spend some time with their constituents, maybe they might learn a thing or two. But no, they spend all of their time with people with big wads of cash. And, you know, I maybe by comparison to the billionaires, he might feel like he's living paycheck to paycheck. But he has no fucking clue.
Yes, I think he's a big, miscolored, runny piece of shit. If your kid wants to play sports and you don't have the money to, like, get him on a team or anything, then just fucking play sports with your kid, you asshole! Also, I haven't taken a trip for vacation in over 10 years, and I am an infinitely more happy person than Bobby Schilling. And that is what I'm going to think about later when I jerk off.
Well, this even goes to, like, Hillary Clinton. This is not just a Republican thing. Hillary Clinton, as they're priming her to run in 2016, made an interesting statement about how when her and Bill left the White House, they were in debt. That even though he's made $5 million in speeches, they'd barely have enough to cover their daughter's education and pay off their houses. Plural. Houses.
Houses.
She's trying to make you
feel so hard.
She's trying to make you feel sorry for the Clintons because we've only got two houses and we're only sending our daughter to the best school in the country and we're dead broke. Oh my God, I truly know what it feels to be poor. No, you don't.
I know there's people out there without any houses, but you've got to understand I'm an incredible asshole.
If any of these motherfuckers ever had their power shut off for non-payment, I have. Have any of you ever skipped meals because you can't afford it? I have. Have you ever had to do the equivalent of sucking dick down at the dock at your bank just to have them give you one more week to try and come up with just the interest payment so they don't take your house? I have. I'm
How about
poor.
A repossessed car?
I have had my car repossessed. I'm poor. You fuckers are not! I know you've had a car repossessed.
Yeah, and the thing is, the car that I had repossessed is a piece of shit. But it's the one car that I have that I park outside the one apartment that I have. Fuck you people.
So, if anyone wants to contact us or PayPal us any money, where can they find the cat?
I do not need your financial support. But you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can find me over on That Guy with the Glasses on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, under the podcast tab. And there are people on that website who could actually use financial support if you have money to throw around, if you're not too busy spending it on your two houses and your daughter's, you know, million-dollar education.
What about you, Charlie? You're just rolling in it, right?
Yes.
I didn't define what it was, but you're rolling in something, right?
I also don't need your financial support, but I will accept it graciously and with a full, complete swallow. You can also find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, also on Facebook, and www.geekjuicemedia.com.
You can find me, 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And there are actual poor people out there. These motherfuckers, Schilling and Clinton and them, they are not. Fuck these people.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.